I hope this worked.
I got it right. We did it, Reddit. Hi, everybody.
Bravo,
welcome to welcome to another episode of Best of Five. My name is Elon. I am joined here, as always, by the inimitable, the main squeeze, Ace King Officer Jurek, wearing his Vikings football jersey or shirt. That's not a jersey.
It's not a jersey. Although I'm playing about as well as the people in the jerseys right now, but that's a discussion for another time. That's a discussion for another time.
Got him.
Would be great if we were in the NFC East. That's all I'm saying.
Steve is firing all the football shots today, ladies and gents. And alongside Steve and myself, we have the lovely, the amazing, the legendary, the purple Sharpie. And then Steve decided to subscribe while I was introducing Sharpie. He's trying to steal her thunder. It's okay. Everybody,
it's great.
Say hi to Sharpie.
It's okay. Thank you, Steve. Everyone knows that birds aren't real. They are surveilling cameras hired by the government.
Yep.
Thank you for subscribing, Steve.
I'm sure 90% of the people who follow that, at least 95, know it's tongue-in-cheek. But I'm worried that it's less than 100. I'm wondering who looks at this, thinks birds aren't real, and thinks, that makes a lot of sense.
They have a point. I'm just saying.
I haven't considered this before.
Well, have you ever seen a pigeon lay an egg?
Never in my life.
See?
Well, I tend to try and give them privacy.
Have you ever seen a pigeon nest?
That's actually very true. I've never seen a pigeon nest before in my life. I actually believe that there's footage on the internet of it, which is crazy, considering that pigeons are literally cameras. So,
show me a pigeon nest.
According to Wild Bird Watching, the nest of these birds can be found along building ledges, rafters, beams.
Stop lying to me.
Buildings? they can download their camera footage afterwards? Yeah, that adds up, Siri.
Yeah,
I got you.
They're connecting to the Wi-Fi. Anyway, we're a fighting game podcast talk show.
Allegedly.
And today, a lot of cool things happened. CNN said hello to the FGC via Ryan Hart, which was amazing. I don't know if you guys saw that. CNN did a small documentary piece on Ryan Hart's journey through the fighting games and his return from homelessness into success. So, good shit. I didn't watch it, the whole thing, but I plan on sitting down and watch it after this. It looked pretty amazing. Chris G is causing more drama again. I guess we're going to talk about Chris G. He's on the dock. Twitch doesn't like music. Or it's not that Twitch doesn't like music. It's that the people who make the music's publishers and lawyers don't like other people using that music. We also got some award shows coming. There's a lot of snow. We have a new character for Granblue. NRS are our best friends because they did an entire combat cast right before our show, so we have some stuff to talk about. But before we do all of that, Steve, we have a hefty-ass recap today, huh?
Hefty is the right word because if you remember last week, it was loaded to the gills with circuits back in swing and circuits starting up as well. Let's kick it to the Street Fighter League. The action continued on the Japanese side of things with fourth round play. Splash finally getting their first win of the season, a 3-1 win over Tokido's Team Flame in a bit of an upset. Aurora, with their 3-1 win over Gaia, move into sole possession of first place. And Daigo's Gold, 4-0 win over Scarlet. Scarlet really struggling. Just one set win out of 12 through the first four rounds. Still got a little bit of time to turn it around, but they'll need to pick things up rather quickly. On this side of the Pacific, we had the second week, of Street Fighter League US. Not full rounds every week, just two matches. But they were two pretty good matches. Team Psycho Shinobi 3-1 winners over Team Dynamite. Angry Bird nearly carried Nasser to another victory. Got two of the three wins, but in the end fell short to All In. All In getting the 3-2 win. They are now 2-0 and in sole possession of first place. Psycho Shinobi, obviously, just one win out of one, but they'll have a chance against Alpha 3 to make that 2-2 next week.
Get them.
Go get it. And keeping on the Street Fighter side of things, the Capcom Pro Tour continued with its second stop on the Central America circuit. And this one, the champ is back in the fold. Mena RD holding off Kusanagi to get the win. He is headed back to Capcom Cup. You want to see you want to see another character dressed up as Mena in the game? It is now possible.
I do.
That's a baller move. I still think that is an absolute baller move. To like, okay, I don't want just my character in the game. I want me in the game. Makes that happen.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Sonic Fox would like a word with you regarding Skullgirls, but, I mean, go off.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about a playable character.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, that's the difference. Sonic Fox has done a lot in the FGC. And I know Justin was the basis of a playable character in some sort of Squid Game that wasn't a fighting game. You know what I'm talking about, but I can't remember.
I do. There's also Alex DeBailey, who was in Dive Kick, which was the very first game that I believe Keats, who's now currently at Iron Galaxies, worked on.
That is not DeBailey. It is Jafaley. It is a completely different person. Oh, my apologies.
A character heavily based on Alex DeBailey. The size of their head, not in any way, shape, or form related.
Well, look, it's funny because I think Dive Kick is kind of attributed to me being in the FGC. Simply because that game got me $10,000 to the charity of my choice forever ago. But I did play that game a lot, and it's got Seth Killian as S-Kill in it. Markman as Markman. Or I think they just call him Mark. Maybe they call him Markman. They have Boz as Boss. Mr. N as Marn. Dude, Mr. N is the best because he cheats. He wears a neck pillow, so you have to headshot him twice.
That's so scummy.
Just like Mr. N.
I will always have just randomly in my head, pajama pants. Just for no damn reason. I'm just going throughout my day, and it's just like, hey, how's it going? Pajama pants.
Man, that game was amazing. I need to play that game some more.
Shout outs to Mena. Like, putting his region on the map, you'll love to see it, honestly. I'm like, it's no secret that I'm not, like, a super huge Street Fighter fan, just because I didn't grow up with Street Fighter. I wasn't a Street Fighter player. But, like, Mena's always been one of those personalities I really relate with. He's hilarious. He almost represents the FGC for me, to be very honest. Of all the Street Fighter personalities, he seems like the most FGC to me. Like, when I think FGC, there's a picture of Mena in my brain. It's kind of great.
You know what's funny? I ran into Mena final round 2016. We were in the same pool. And I went up and I shook his hand. I was like, hey, dude, good to see you. And we were playing, like, some round. And he goes, yeah, I know who you are. I'm like, why? This was before I even did anything with best of five. So it's like, why? He's like, oh, yeah, you beat my buddy in an online tournament or something. I'm like, okay. Sorry. But then he proceeded to kick my ass, and then I drowned in pools, as is tradition.
Yeah, I'd be like that.
I also drowned in pools to somebody mashing down jab with Zangief, and I was very upset about it. And some say that I am still upset about it to this day. But with all that said, he was very fun to meet, so I like that guy. And the whole controversy of him, like, not being a real Capcom Cup winner or whatever, I like seeing him win because fuck those people. So,
yeah, yeah. Whenever someone tells me... Oh, sorry. Go on, Steve.
No, you go for it.
Whenever someone tells me, especially inside of a community where it's like we're already, I feel like, not as respected as other esports communities, you know what I mean? Like, in terms of competitive gaming, we're already seen as not that serious. Whenever someone then tries to take that accomplishment away from people who compete inside of our scene and do ridiculously well against all odds, that just frustrates me personally. And that makes them an underdog to me, and that makes me now a fan of theirs by merit. Like, they would essentially have to literally go out of their way to say, I love grapplers and everything about grapplers and the best man and Jesus was a grappler in order for me to hate them. And even with all of that, I still love Minna, you know? Like, it's crazy.
What I was going to say is my favorite part of seeing Minna come up is seeing the people coming up with him from that scene. Because it wasn't just Minna coming through. It was Kaba. It was Crossover. It was Hoach. It was all those Dominican Mandrake. Players.
Mm-hmm.
Mandrake, yeah. It was all those players getting an opportunity to say, hey, we've got one player here who's really good. Guess what? There's probably some other good players here, too. You saw the same thing with Pakistan, with Tekken, where you had, you know, after everyone found out about Arslan Ash, it's like, oh, this Honey guy, this Atif Butt guy, hey, they're pretty damn good. So that's my favorite part of it.
My favorite part is the fact that Mena took his Capcom winnings, which when it transferred over to the Dominican Republic currency, he turned into a millionaire. Instead of, you know, doing what I would do and be selfish and just live my life, he decided to bring up the entire FGC with him, right? The entire Dominican FGC got such a huge boost because he was building places for people to go. He was sending people places. He was sending people over to the U.S. to train and all this other stuff. So I think that's very indicative of how much he loves not only the FGC, or I'm sorry, not only his community, but the FGC in general, because he's like the kind of people that he's the kind of person that's like taking something to where it was and just like leveling it up with what he has. So good shit to Mena.
And he might get that opportunity again, because if you take a look at the list of qualified players, we're 3/4 of the way through figuring out who the CPT, who the Capcom Cup finalists are going to be. Mena, Kaba, who we mentioned, Mandrake, all of those players are going to be in there. Next ticket will be punched this weekend with the Asia East second tournament. Who will join Daigo out of that region of Japan, Korea? It's going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts. And actually, Capcom just announced today that for the first time, they're actually going to stream pools of that tournament. So if you're looking for something,
I just want to mention, because I know this is a little bit lesser known than me, but I actually am a streamer. I've been streaming for 10 years. I've done event streaming with several different production companies inside of the FGC and outside of the FGC. And what's interesting to me is that this choice is probably mostly coming around because not only is Capcom Cup obviously one of the biggest Capcom events in general for, like, when you look at competitive FGC tournaments and everything like that, but in the middle of the pandemic, it's also one of the only ones that's still persisting. It's probably honestly the biggest one this year. Like, there weren't any other tournaments that are probably going to be on the same scale of Capcom Cup this year, just because Evo didn't happen. Combo Breaker didn't happen. We had a cancellation of, like, literally every single event before that. So it's, like, really the events that Capcom has to compete against is itself right now. So why wouldn't they stream pools? I think it's a great step in the right direction, because you're getting so many more people pressed that deserve it and have earned it at this point. It's going to be very nice to see. It's kind of interesting to see if they'll do it after quarantine stops, but we'll see. We'll see, right? Does anyone else have any thoughts regarding that?
Well, more Street Fighter is never a bad thing. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. Obviously, they've been doing just top 16s and top 8s for the previous online qualifiers, but let me list off some names real quick. Johnny, Mago, Trashbox, Gachikun, Machibo, Pugera, Hot Dog 29,
NL,
Bonchan, John Takeuchi, Kichipamu, Alt Nemo. Damn. None of those players made top 16. All of them were in the tournament in the first East Asia tournament. They all got knocked out. None of them got on stream. The depth of And not to say anything about any other region, but I think there's a lot more interest in watching some of these big names play in the Japan, Korea, in this region than there are in other regions. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of the reason why this particular tournament is getting pools streamed.
You remember, I think it was SCR a couple years ago where they had the death pool for everybody that signed up on at the venue, and Marn somehow made it out of that. That's every that pool.
Tweet saying it was tough.
Yeah, that's every pool in like an East Asia tournament. It's just everything is just so stacked. So you never know what's going to happen, and that's why we get results like, you know, a lot of the big names that we expect to see up top not being up top. So, you know, it's never a bad thing to have more Street Fighter. Go ahead.
One quick question, Steve. If you could choose any other region to also have their pool streamed, which one did you choose?
I would probably do China.
Interesting.
Simply because there is essentially no other time for these for a lot of these players to get a chance to be on stream. Mm. So, personal interest aside, I think that would be something. And that's one of the things I kind of wish that there were more regions represented on this year's CPT. I would love to see some representation for Africa. I would love to see more Middle Eastern nations represented here, but just because I want to see new players get that opportunity. So that would be my pick. It's a little weird, but
that's no, it comes from a great place. Elon, same question. Let's get a close-up of you too, friend. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Fine. I don't know.
Do you have a favorite region?
That's what we're moving on.
That's fair. Well, insightful as always from Elon. Steve, don't we have even more tournament results to discuss?
Well, I kind of want to, before we move on, I do want to take a quick look at the, because we glanced over it, but I do want to take a quick look at the 2020 finalists. I'm just going to run them down real quick, then we'll move on. But we have the champion Idom, who also remember Rage Quit in the first East tournament. Dr. Mandrake, who we were talking about just recently. Nephew. Go ahead. Dr. Mandrake, not Dr. Mandrake. My apologies. Mr. Nephew. Kaba, the second of the three Dominican Republic reps. Picaro from Brazil. Right, he's Brazilian?
Peru.
No, sorry. He's Peru. I apologize. Takamura. We got Phenom. SKZ. The Lord Daigo. Smug. Mena, Jail Eshe, that's the guy from Brazil.
Yeah.
Infectious, Angry Bird, and Cien. So we have, let's see, we have one China tournament, one Australian tournament, another East Asia tournament, and one more NA West tournament, and we're done. That's it. So four more weekends.
Four more, yeah.
We're a month away.
Remember that NA West tournament, that's the one where Punk is, if he enters, he's going to start from the loser's bracket.
Oh, so, are they doing that for the qualifiers, not for Capcom Cup?
For the qualifier. Okay. So that's sort of the punishment. If he gets in, he gets in. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Yep.
And for those of you that don't remember, that's for his response to the previous tournament and his actions after dealing with frustrating situations from that tournament. So
wasn't very respectful, suffice it to say. It was somewhat disrespectful, and he didn't handle it very professionally, and a professional verdict was handed out for such.
Anyway.
And we will be covering some reaction to an online event a little later in the show. But moving on, because we've got a whole lot of recap to
keep it going. I should have put the timer up. Go for it, Steve.
speaking of Australia... Australia was in the focus of the Tekken Online Challenge. Dion Gray, a name you should be familiar with if you follow the Tekken World Tour standings. He's always in the mix in the Australian events. He got the win over Y50K, got his revenge, got sent to losers in top 8, but came all the way back to take it.
Shout out to Nick Cheese, tying for 5th.
Yeah, we got some quality names. Terrorist is up there.
God damn it. I like Danny the Dude.
Danny the Dude. But after the tournament, there was, of course, the boss fight with Chan and Y went down to the final round, but Chan pulled it off to prevent the second straight tournament winner from winning. And then Sunday, Alchemist, your big 7-2 winner in the main event over Rec. Dion, a 5-1 win over Tin Lu, and Stuckles, 5-3 winner over Daniel.
Yeah, my boy Stuckles. I don't know. He's not really my boy, but I like his name.
Moving on to Arc Revo. Action continued on both sides of the Pacific. On the U.S. side of things, this weekend was about the South-Southeast region. King John getting it done over Fame 96 in the grand final to take top honors in Grand Blue. On the other side of things, for BB Tag, it was Uri who won it over Jan in H-Town. You see Jan. Razzo. Yeah.
Nice.
Razzo and Elyon rounding out the top four. On the other side of the Pacific, you had the Grand Blue tournament for Arc Revo Japan. Taichi getting the win over Scores in the finale. Hakuto and Mochi beating semifinalists. Koji Ko.
We always got to shout him out because he's Efren's boy.
Yeah.
Efren loves that guy.
Representing T-Hawk quite well.
Also, by the way, I just want to point out another name here. Is that on tie? Are all the people on the bottom right tied for ninth, or is that your one mistake this week, Steve?
Nope, that's tied for ninth.
Okay, cool.
It's single elimination.
Okay. Oh, okay, gotcha. But we have a name in there that we haven't heard in a hot minute. Ogawa. For those of you that don't know, that's What Are You Standing Up For times version 2 from EVO a while ago was Ogawa versus oh my god, what was that man's name? He works on Street Fighter now. Holy crap.
Woshige,
thank you.
Or as they called him on SportsCenter, Woshiji.
Woshiji. You know whose name is not Woshiji? Kwanzai.
And Wanda, thank you, Kwanzai. Thank you so much for subscribing for almost now 3 years. One month away from 3 years. 35 months. Let's go.
That is impressive. 3-year anniversary and another Twitch baby. Next month.
Oh, next month. Okay. I was about to say, if it was a Twitch baby now, something wasn't adding up in my brain. Anywhoozle. Was that it, or was there one more?
There was one more for Japan. The Exerd tournament was won by Tomo, taking it over Nakamura in the final. You see some players like Nage and Daru in the mix, but it's Tomo who has come over to the U.S. before. It's been a little while, but still holding it down in Guilty Gear, so congratulations to Tomo.
Hell yeah.
And this weekend was also the first event, or the first week of action in the Dragon Ball FighterZ National Championships. This is 5 different round robins in 5 of the strongest regions in the world that will take place over 7 weeks. The top 4 of each region make it to that region's championship. They play a ladder style tournament. So if you're the number 1 seed, you start in the finals. If you finish 4th, you got to beat number 3, then number 2, then number 1 to win it. So all of these,
just like bowling,
round robin matches. Yeah, kind of like a bowling televised tournament. You see Goichi, the big winner in Japan. Over in the U.S. West, there was a significant result. Reynald, the 5-3 win over Chris G, which we'll get into in a little bit. Obviously, it's week 1 out of 7, so we've got plenty of time before we get a final 4 in each region determined.
I just want to say big ups to Double L for that 5-0 over LK. And Mamba Lamba, honey, next time. I watch Kami stream a lot, so like I'm a big Kami fan, and Mambalamba consistently gets the work, but, like, I don't ever wish that against Subway. You know, you can't go against Sage and, like, not expect to get clapped, all right? We love Sage in here in this chat. We support godlike kings. I hope Kami comes back. I want to see Kami. I want to see more Kami.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there will be lots more Kami to be had, not to put words in his or her mouth. Sorry that I don't know
who that is. No, you're fine. I only commentated East Coast Dragon Ball. So it's like a lot of the names on there I highly recognize because most of them are in the Northeast. I believe one of the only people who actually wasn't in the Northeast was actually Nokami, who resides in, I believe, I think it's like one of the Carolinas. I don't remember. It's North or South Carolina. Mm-hmm. But that's crazy. It's actually really cool.
I thought Nokami was Florida.
Oh, no.
I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, Nokami, I think both Nokami and, what's his name? Oh my god, I'm going to mess this up so much. Not Matlock, but the guy who plays Punch Planet and Street Fighter. Who am I thinking of? He streams Punch Planet, plays on Hitbox, has the whole Back to the Lab again. Okay, cool. Well, he also lives in North Carolina.
Oh, Automatic.
Oh, Automatic.
Yes, Automatic, yeah. Yeah. Him. He also lives in North Carolina as well. So it's like, I know because I run Xanadu. So it's like when I'm looking at people to come to my events, you know, I look at people that mostly live inside of the regions near me. So that's always great. That's always really cool. I think that's fantastic representation. It's nice to see people in the East that just aren't up in the Northeast. You know what I mean?
Hey, Google, where's Nokami from? Google voice apps on Google Play. All right. Sick. Nailed it. All right. Steve, will you please take out your crystal ball for us and tell us what the future holds?
The future holds another packed week of fighting game tournaments.
That's a lot of stuff.
Because, yeah. you think it's done? No, it ain't over. Street Fighter League continues on Thursday and Friday. Dragon Ball FighterZ National Championships goes into round two. This weekend, you also have the final week of Arc Revo Japan. That is just BB Tag on Friday night / Saturday morning, depending on where in the world you are. Saturday afternoon, you've got the Northeast region for Arc Revo America. You also have the U.S. Central showdown for the Tekken Online Challenge. And, as we mentioned, starting Friday night into Saturday morning, Asia East 2 CPT, probably the most anticipated of all the regions this year. The first one where they're showing pools. It's going to be nuts.
I can't wait to see what will happen. Okay, so here's the sitch. We're going to get into our topics for the show today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put a 15-minute timer, and we're going to go through a couple of topics that are not on our doc, one of which I forgot to cover last week, and it was very important. So here we go. First, Capcom upgraded the Street Fighter V netcode last week. We completely missed
That's right! Yeah.
Responses have been from "it feels pretty good" to "it feels the same" to "this is bullshit." So, who knows what it's like? Go play it. From what I saw, they reverted it back to how it was closer to in March. So, the people I have seen playing it seem to think that something felt different in a good way. But everybody says something different online. So, I haven't had the chance to play it myself yet. But I guess that'll decide that. Have you both seen anything with it? About it?
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, there's Steve. We can hear you. Your camera is broken. And the most precious face I have ever seen you make.
Oh, man. Here, let me leave the call for a second and then jump back in. I'm sorry.
Okay, while Steve's getting set up, I'll go and do our... Actually, Sharpie, did you have anything you wanted to say?
I was going to say that I actually did touch Street Fighter for the very first time in a very long time since the game first came out. I remember how bad the netcode was back then, and I will say that it still feels a little bit... It's hard for me because I play games with very good netcode, so it still is not acceptable for me personally. And yeah. That's not any tea or shade on Street Fighter players. That's just I have very high netcode standards. So it doesn't feel good to me. It feels a little bit better than Dragon Ball, but it also doesn't feel as reliable as Skullgirls or them fighting herds.
Gotcha. And we'll get to Dragon Ball in just a little bit.
Yeah, we will. Welcome back, Steve.
I like the other face better.
I'm sorry.
Steve, it was so empty for 30 seconds without you. I had to talk about Street Fighter.
Oh, dear God. I am so sorry.
I know!
Steve, what was your take on the Street Fighter V netcode? Have you seen anything different with it?
I really haven't had a chance to dive in to experience myself. I've heard good things. It's at the very least, it's encouraging that they're continuing to work on it. Even if it's not perfect now, I've always felt like even if it's not a big winner in terms of making your money back now, I felt like it was important to do that from a business perspective to win people over for Street Fighter VI or whatever the next Capcom fighting game project is going to be. And especially with the way things are now, you can't be a successful, you can't be a AAA title and sidestep the netcode conversation. So it's good that they're still taking steps at the very least.
For sure. And if you want to read exactly what they changed, you can go to the Capcom Shadaloo website in the latest update. They have exactly what they changed there, which, again, a lot more transparency than we've ever gotten from Capcom. So shout outs to them for finally getting it right.
Really good steps they're taking. Love it. Love to see it.
Same. All right, next. This is stuff we don't have on our doc, so I'm going to take those up anyway. As of 2 days ago, there is a new character for Granblue. There we go.
Gliostra!
Yeah. Oh,
she's so cute!
Anyway, this is what Granblue looks like now.
Yes!
Oh my goodness.
Oh, not Charlotte! Yeah. Oh, she's gone.
I've always thought, like, the only thing...
That's my favorite.
Like, I thought I wanted to get into Granblue, but I could have used that time getting into Gacha Life, so this is the perfect crossover for me.
The perfect crossover, huh?
Oh no, she's me! She's evil and sweet and a queen? Oh no!
Uh-oh. Looks like Sharpie's about to spend some time on Granblue.
Oh no! Oh no! And she's a set play character! Oh, actually, no. Y'all, why are you showing me this, Elon?
Well, because we have to show the trailer. She's coming out soon if she hasn't already. Yeah. No, we gotta. she's got like the puddle setups too. This is cool. She's got like puddle setups. She's got rock.
So I played Ram and Exerd before, you know, she got nerfed to Oblivion, and I am an Eliza player 100%.
She came out today. Holy shit. How timely.
Why am I doing this stream? I could be playing her.
You can get
everyone real quick. If you're watching or listening to our podcast, stop right now. Immediately download Granblue Versus and play this super cute, incredibly adorable character. Because I'm about to, and you don't want to get more work than me inside of this game.
She made a statue of herself. I'm down. That's cool.
I'm actually in love. Is she single? Is she looking?
I believe so. Also, speaking of which, I fucked up and our timer is gone, but it's right there. Cool. So, that's a new Granblue character. I didn't see that she came out today, so that's pretty dope.
Also, they did say that the next character will be revealed in December. There's typically a Granblue Christmas stream that sort of like covers the entire franchise. So the expectation is we will learn the identity of the next character at that point, if it's not leaked beforehand. But it could be at a different point. But that's looking like the most likely. Time of info is a real phrase as of now.
What else did we miss, Elon?
There was, first of all, I just want to give a shout out to our best friends over at NRS for doing a combat cast before our show so we have shit to talk about. Thank you, NRS, our besties. They did a combat cast and they also released a trailer for Rain gameplay. Let's take a gander. Forgot to hit play. Still haven't hit play. Now I'm hitting play. Here's some audio. It's loud. Alright, oh, turn it down.
Kotal Kahn. Praise the sun.
I need neither reptile nor Ermac to kill you.
Oh, they're not. They're both not here.
You are finished.
Anyway, let's check out some of this rain gameplay, yeah?
Ooh. Well.
He's got the backswing blow. He's got the waves.
Yo, I like that range, though.
Ooh,
yo, his movement's very fluid.
Like water? See, now this is the shit right here. He turns into water. He does a Bruce Lee. Be water, my friend. And then the big wave. I think the fact that he kicks waves at people is hilarious, and I love it.
That's what everyone from the watery realm gets to do.
You mean Adania? Come on, Steve.
So it kind of just feels like someone was like, man, Sub-Zero would be so cool if he didn't just freeze people. And they're like, you sure? And I guess the answer was just yes.
Whoa, wait a minute. Do both of you not know the lore between Rain?
Talk
the Prince
lore.
Of Adania? Anyway, there he goes.
Oh, you got dishwasher.
Man, Rain just looks thirsty, honestly.
He got the eyeballs. Alrighty. So that's Rain. Well, no, this is Rain. There he is. And then they have the badass. Just
Rain
like in
Rain.
The old times, they have his old pose. That's pretty sick. I'm a fan. So that's Rain. And they showed him off along with a couple of the other characters, I believe, today at the Combat Cast. Thank you. So it's nice to see those guys again doing Combat Cast stuff, even though it was remote due to the pandemic. Due to the pandemic of the world today, they were doing it remotely. But it's always nice to see the dev team and the folks over at NRS showing off the game, making it look good as they usually do. Any thoughts on Rain?
Seems like the forecast was telling us about Rain. We just weren't paying attention. Casters, you're welcome for that. Y'all can steal it. Just give, you know, obviously credit to myself. That was a very good liner that I just wrote right now. I'm available for hire. I need work.
I cannot give an unbiased opinion on Rain because he is, you know, being purple Rain is obviously a nod to Prince. And as a Minnesotan, it is in the state constitution that I praise everything that Prince, that is Prince or Prince tangent. Therefore, Rain is the greatest character ever made by NetherRealm, without question. Even more than Sub-Zero, who was my main growing up, but only because Rain didn't exist yet.
Yep.
But Prince is really good, though. Prince is awesome.
Yeah, but before we move on, Paco Stevens showed up in the chat. Everybody give a round of applause to Paco Stevens for pulling the strings over at NRS and making the Combat Cast before our show. I don't know if he actually did that or not, but I'm just assuming he did. So thank
we
you, Paco
appreciate
Stevens.
All developers and developer adjacent volunteers and or community members that work hard to make sure that FGC talk shows like ours continue to have content, because no one wants to hear me talk about how fantastic it is that you can support a local FGC podcast exclusively by hitting that follow and subscribe button and giving us $5.99 on Twitch.
Hell yeah. Also,
no one wants to hear that.
Breaking news, Paco Stevens saying that there could be more news next Tuesday and the one after that too.
Ooh.
So, and he used the cave, so it's official.
Yes.
It's official.
That's how you can tell the real stuff from the fake.
Yep.
If it's COULT, it's not MK related.
Can we get him our email just for other little, you know, important information he may ever want to tell us?
Well, he's right there in the Twitch chat. Send it to him. No, thank you as always, Lord Paco Stevens, for all that you do for us and shaping the NetherRealm Studios to make sure that we can talk about it on a Tuesday. So much appreciated. But somebody else was asking if the Rain pose from the end is from the old games. Yes, Mortal Kombat 3, every time you won, he would go like this. Except without raising his legs. He would just stand perfectly straight and just go. you know? So
it was the earliest form of T-posing to establish dominance.
Yeah, because the T-posing is this. He did this. So you know he's
kind of great.
Fucking real, yeah.
It was kind of great.
It was a curved T. It was a squiggly T.
Yes. But yeah, so I'm excited for Rain, man. I think a lot of other people are excited for Rain because people have been asking for that character since Mortal Kombat 10. And in Mortal Kombat 10, he was in the game in the story mode. That was it.
I need some clarification. Was there a comma in that phrase? I'm excited for Rain Man?
Yes.
Because it is, you know, with the number of movie characters that are making the game, it's not impossible that Rain Man makes the cut in Combat Pack.
Oh, no.
Could be. Well, I mean, they already have Rain. Do you think they would have Rain Man? What about Rayman? Yes.
Stop it. We're stopping it right now. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I'm moving on to the next conversation topic, which is Elon.
Definitely fatality.
Rain Man, Starman is also a good movie. You know what? Can we just get every Mega Man boss ever as a Mortal Kombat character? I think that's what needs to happen next. But I did mistime everything, so we have about 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Are there any other pieces of news that we want to cover that is not on this doc before we move on?
Yeah, sure.
Go for it.
It's so snowing. Important.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh.
No, you do it.
So, in the smaller communities, first and foremost, inside of the Skullgirls community, there was a large release yesterday afternoon that was actually Annie. The brand new Skullgirls character was released for the very first time on Skullgirls Mobile. It was actually not a bad release. Typically, what Hidden Variable will do is they will actually take down the application, push it through the App Store or the Google Play Store, and then get the update and everything like that. I've played her quite a bit. Absolutely a big fan of Annie and what it means for the game. I'm really excited. A lot of people seem to think that for some reason this character is not going to come out inside of Second Encore. That is not the case. The character is still coming out in 2021, and I'm very, very excited to see how this character is going to play in Second Encore, because she's kind of busted inside of Skullgirls Mobile right now. She's incredibly broken. There are a lot of moves that she is able to do that kind of disregard the rules of Skullgirls entirely. And it's always great to see something like that just shake up the meta. So I'm excited for that. There is a little bit of other talks and them fighting herds, fighting fanatics, announced a brand new tournament series, which I'm very excited about, as well as some new content. Really, really cool. Super great things coming out of both the them fighting herds community and Skullgirls community.
That's dope. Has like the community shifted at all for them's fighting herds after they were announced to have a spot at Evo? Like, has that community grown much?
To be honest, I think after the Evo spot was announced, them fighting herds became a much bigger community, and I feel like they've been able to handle that growth very, very well in general. I'm seeing a lot of new faces start to get more comfortable around the game, and while I'm not seeing the same amount of content that I like to see come out from new creators inside of the game, because I'm very familiar with the game, I'm excited to make content for it just to get more people excited about it in general. But I think they've grown quite a bit. I think they're just having some issues maintaining that growth just because of the silence since Evo. But they're definitely still moving on upward, which is great to see.
Hell yeah. That's never a bad thing. A rising tide.
Play them fighting herds.
Or a tide sink. Fuck. Damn it.
Roll tide?
No, I was going to say something on a rising tide raises all ships, but I just couldn't get it.
More than play them fighting herds. We can't even say play them fighting herds now 3 times on the stream to let people know they can go to playtfh.sharpypls.com to pick up the game on Steam, which is currently $10.99. That's crazy.
Ooh. Yeah.
Affiliate links in full effect.
Okay, so now we have the regular topics from our doc. So I'm going to go ahead. Let's just start with the one up top, shall we, Steve? I sadly don't have that link pulled up, but you go ahead and tee it up. I'll start the timer, and I'll pull it up as soon as I get it. So here we go. Timer starts. Nowzers.
So last Wednesday, there was a piece of media from CNN making the rounds inside the FGC. It was a documentary piece, a video piece attached to an article about Ryan Hart, one of the old school Still doing it, by the way, but one of the OGs in competitive gaming. You can't really tell the story of competitive fighting game tournaments without talking about Ryan Hart.
I'm sorry to interrupt. The timer isn't moving.
Well, that's dumb.
I just wanted to let you know, Steve, it just felt like an organic time to say that.
Okay, well, it's moving now. So pretend there that there's... All right, so start it over.
No.
Okay.
Ryan Hart.
Damn it, so, I copied the wrong one. Fuck.
I will throw the link into Twitter or into the chat, but it's a piece that talks about basically how he got started and where he came from, and it talks a lot more about how he came up as someone who for a time was homeless, which not a lot of people know, to achieve the heights that he has achieved, which is, you know, it's awesome to see, obviously. But it's really nice to see, you know, some sort of positive coverage for something, because usually, let's be honest, whenever the FGC tends to get the attention of sites that aren't FGC focused, it's usually some sort of controversy, some sort of incident that has people talking. So to get some sort of so to let people see that, hey, you know, there's positive stuff that can come out of the games and the community that surrounds them.
Also, just to point something out, when you saw the volume thing on the video, that was straight up from the video itself. So let's find it again. See, that's on the video itself. That wasn't me. So don't even start. Whoever was using that Mac didn't know to not capture the screen. it's so cool to see a player get their story told in something like CNN for starters, but to then learn that, you know, he went through so many trials and tribulations to get to where he is now, where I remember just a couple years ago, he did that big event where he broke like a couple of Guinness World Records for playing video games, right? Where he sat down and he played the longest set of matches ever. He won the most sets of matches in one sitting, and he also played the largest set in one sitting, I think. Something like
that. He also got the title as like the longest competitive gamer or something like that.
Yeah, something like
old
that.
Old competitive gamer. Something like he got into the Hall of Fame for his achievements in gaming.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is Ryan Hart showing he's got Hart.
Oh, they said Urien with a Y.
They
y'all
did
see
say
that?
Urien with a Y, yeah.
They said Urien. I was like, wait a second.
There it is.
He did it again.
Y-U-R-I-A-N.
Oh, no.
Urien. Urien Hart. But anyway, so if you have yourself 2.5 minutes, please go to Twitter to the link that Steve posted. I believe they also have a bunch of other articles as well, right, Steve?
They do have an article on the CNN site, which I just linked in the chat.
So please go check all that stuff out, because what better way to show our support to somebody who has made such an impact on our community than to go to a CNN website and give them those ad clicks? Know what I'm saying?
We support Disney in this household.
For sure.
Because Disney owns CNN and ESPN.
Just like the
no, Urien. CNN's Turner, I believe.
Yeah, CNN is Turner.
Oh, right. Which is also owned by Disney?
No, Turner, I think, is owned by Turner. I think Turner is its own.
Oh.
Hey, Google.
Oh. It's only a matter of
Turner
time.
Turner Broadcasting. Possibly.
Oh, it's Warner Media, which is owned by AT&T. So.
AT&T. Yeah. So it wasn't that conglomerate. It was the other conglomerate.
Other Dang conglomerate it. We forgot about.
Just like the Dimmesdale Dimmadome, owned by Doug Dimmadome, the owner of the
Until
Dimmesdale
he sold
Dimmadome.
It to Disney.
Until he sold it to Dimma Disney.
That ain't right.
Anyway, congratulations, obviously, to Ryan Hart, an inspiration to all of us inside of the fighting game community, inspiration to myself and a bunch of next generation hosts, commentators, players, and content creators alike. Always fantastic to see black men inside of this community doing great things.
You remember that commentator grudge match he had with Rip?
Yes.
We don't talk about that.
Why not? That was awesome.
We talk about that.
Did you hear the very nice, politically correct everything statement, the nice little wrapping up bow tie I put on top of that? And they were just like, yo, you remember the straight up thuggery moment right here, bro?
We have 5 minutes.
Because it's, you know,
we weren't
what?
Even on Twitch at the time. We were on Justin TV. You remember that shit, Sharpie? Bro.
But this happened like a year ago. Actually, wait, was it this year? Or was it last year?
It was...
Hey, Google. When did Ryan Hart and Rip play?
I believe it was 20... Yeah, it was 2019.
Bulldogs Walton, Rick, Reinhardt. Okay, so...
The initial confrontation was during Tekken World Tour Finals in 2018. Okay. And then they had the set in 2019.
Okay, so it was last year. All right, cool. I thought my sense of timing was off again.
And the thing with Reinhardt is that he often gets a bit overlooked. Because, you know, when at least from the American perspective...
Oops.
You know, when we talk about...
Go ahead.
When we talk about some of the old heads in the FGC, we talk about Daigo and we talk about Justin. And it sort of all focuses on that. But Reinhardt was really instrumental to not just the gaming scene in general, but the European scene in particular. I believe he is the first fighting game player to actually be on a pro contract. So it's good to see him get some recognition for his efforts.
Yeah. You know what? Every time Reinhardt's brought up, I always remember the first ever NLBC I went to back when I lived in Philadelphia was the last Arcade Edition 2012 NLBC, right before Ultra released. So I got to see, and that was like the same weekend that the NYU tournament was happening. So Seth Killian was there, Reinhardt was there, Gamer B was there, Justin Wong was there. Everybody was there for this tournament the next day. And I remember talking to him, and I didn't know much about the FGC, but him and I had a really good conversation where he specifically spoke about how to go from zero into what the FGC is, right? And most of it, from his experience, just boiled down to just going to places and talking to people, right? The game is a very strong part of it, sure, but the more knowledge you get, like the more base knowledge you get is just from having conversations with other people and playing other people and talking about the game instead of just grinding it out in the lab. Go ahead.
For the record, there are so many talented people inside of the UK that I think Reinhardt really opened a door for. Mm-hmm. And you see it, I want to say especially a really good example is like Dragon Ball. There's such a strong United Kingdom scene for that game, which is a newer game, but a lot of the people in that scene came from a community that Ryan helped foster in and of himself, which is kind of amazing. Like, I know that Ryan personally, like, was looking to help content creators in general across the globe when he was working at ESL, and I, like, took him up on that offer, and I learned a lot working with him in general, just on a volunteer basis. But it's, like, it's amazing to see the amount of opportunity he continues to provide, even without just being in a dedicated leadership position. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what really helps the FGC continue to function, is there are so many people like that in our community. It's a rarity. So it's like, it's interesting that everyone's like, he consistently gets overlooked, because he does. He works with a lot of people on the back end. Like, I don't think like it was ever really public knowledge that I worked with him before, to be honest. And it's not like because I haven't said it before. It's just like, because it's like, no one publicizes things like that, because it's like, who cares, who does this thing? They just see the thing and they click like. You know what I mean? No one realizes how much opportunity people get behind the scenes when leaders give other people opportunities to come up. And that's huge. That's a fundamental part. It's not always just, oh, someone's just getting a lot of praise right now. There are a lot of people that built that person up, and a lot of those people were in situations like that before. That is such a crux of the FGC and one of, honestly, the reasons why I love it so much. I know it's a little bit tangent to now, but that's why I am especially happy to see Ryan Hart making it big on that media circuit. And I know it's not like a huge achievement for him or anything like that, but it's a big moment for the community in general, because what that means is that there are even more faces that are going to get opportunity exclusively because he existed. And that's huge. Congratulations again to Ryan Hart.
Yep, it's just like we were talking about Mena. He's another one of those people that took the scene from where it was and just threw it up in the air.
Beautiful.
Nice. That was really good, Eli.
I'm pretty sure "threw really it up good. In the air" could have been a better phrase, but you know what? Fuck it. That's what
you could have said. And then he just swish, and then if you have the little ding, if you said, and then swish, and then her ding, 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 that would have been, because you kind of did like a basketball thing.
Yeah, but
Steve even better than me, because I can't even fake the basketball thing. He did the whole layup, and I was just sitting here like trying to hold a baby.
See, if you do that though, you can't do that without calling out Kobe. That's just that's just intergalactic law. Kobe.
Intergalactic law. okay.
So preemptively, I'm going to add my 5 minutes to this next topic piece because I have things I'd like to say.
Okay. Steve, do you want to tee it up and then Sharpie, you can spike it down?
Of course.
All right.
Okay, then. We got a 10er or a 15er? Call it out.
Let's do, because we've got two more topics to go. So let's do 15 on this and 10 on that, on the next.
Okay, here you go. The timer is broken.
Nice. Right, so 3 minutes. Let's go.
All right. Sorry. Dicks. All right. Okay, fixed it. Here we go. The timer is...
We're a family-friendly podcast.
Go.
Hooray. So we've alluded to this a couple times throughout the evening. During the Dragon Ball FighterZ National Championships, there was a set between Chris G and Reynald. They have played several times before. This was an online set. The entire tournament is online. And Chris ended up on the losing end. Afterwards, he took to Twitter and posted a twit longer, which I'm going to link in the chat right now. But...
Can you also read it in its entirety after you're done with whatever? I think it's important just to have it on record for our listeners.
All right, I will. Here's what he posted on Sunday. Quote, "I've experienced stuttered before, but not like last night. I don't play PC DBFZ much, and I don't do lobbies, so this was new to me. Last night's set with Reynald was an interesting one, full of mashing and drop combos. I've played Reynald many times, and it was never this bad. This was almost unplayable. Even during the first touch of death, I said out loud, 'This can't be real,' and prayed to God I didn't drop the combo. As the set went on, I cared less and less as more combos were dropped. After the third game, I legit thought about quitting. With that said, I refuse to do 6 more weeks of this. Even if I win all of my matches, I refuse to play in a serious situation where I cannot give it my all and have the commentators make excuses for why I can't do ABC combos. With that said, I'm dropping out of the World Tour. Thank you for the opportunity and good luck to everyone involved. I'll stick to casuals. Lol." End quote. All that said, apparently, and he has not reversed his stance over the last couple of days, Chris G is withdrawing from the DBFZ National Championships. This is an ongoing series, 7 weeks long. So it is unclear at this time whether there will be any sort of replacement, how that will be handled, if he will come back, if there'll just be a 7-person round robin going forward. Bandai Namco has yet to make any sort of statement on that. So, but yeah, I know Sharpie, you feel a certain kind of way about this, so I'm interested to hear what you've got to say, because I've got some thoughts. I've got some
thoughts. All right. Now here's my thing. All right. I understand that, first of all, Chris is a player, first and foremost. I am in no way, shape, or form discussing Chris as in regards to any of his play in any previous tournaments, I'm exclusively going right now on this twit longer. And I understand I may get some hate for this statement, but I am prepared for this, and I've been prepared for it since he made this statement. In fact, y'all, I even waited for this good old FGC Tuesday to bring you Sharpie Says on this topic. Now look, y'all. Now look. Here's the reel. It is no surprise to anyone that the Dragon Ball netcode is booty. It's straight up butt. Everyone knows that. People get paid a lot of money to talk about the game on a professional level, and sometimes you can't certain things with sponsored. I am in such a fantastic position to not be sponsored and be able to say whatever I would like about that game and have it not affect my payload or my workload whatsoever. So I'm going to say it. It's not that great, okay? We know it. We know how Bandai feels about it. We know how Bandai feels about transparency of the other game. We understand all of that. That's not, no tea, no shade. It is what it is, right? Here's what I do not appreciate. First of all, we're not even going to talk about the grammar side of this tweet longer. We're not going to discuss it. What I am going to say is a lot of that statement was very, very No Johns-esque, right? It sounds like the man was making excuses. If you enter a tournament to play and then you lose and then you say, oh, the reason I lost was net play, honey, don't act like you didn't know what you were going into in the start. I don't appreciate that at all, Chris. I really don't. And I'm being real with you. That's what it is. That's really what it is. It's a fantastic opportunity for a non-sponsored player. That's a lot of eyes on you. You know it. You were a professional player. You still are a professional player. You know exactly how you are expected to act in that occasion. Creating a twit longer like that, especially when you're not saying exactly what you mean, which is, first of all, I had a horrible experience here, and you give excuses by saying it was just mashing and stuttering and this and that. You aren't saying the cause of, okay, because the net play was bad here, here is my evidence of this and that. No developer is going to look at that. It's just complaining. It's really just blatant complaining. That's what's frustrating to me, is that Chris knows how to address this problem correctly, and there is such a history in general with statements coming from Chris G that are saying how he feels and not what he means, and this is another one of those statements, and I'm just kind of tired of it at this point. I really am. The last time, this stuff got huge press because it was about a racial component, but the reality is the man doesn't even care enough to be specific about what the issue is. He had an opportunity here to make a real statement about saying, I am not playing here because it is this bad, and players have done this before inside of different games. I will bring everybody's memory back over to, Street Fighter. Didn't a player drop out because the connection was literally so bad? Like, literally, didn't they just say, I DQ myself? Like, that has happened before. This was an opportunity, and it was an opportunity that was unfortunately wasted because he got his feelings involved in the verdict, which is incredibly unfortunate. I myself have been a victim of having a terrible connection inside of an online game, and I understand how frustrating it is when you have practiced at length to be very, 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 very talented and very, very good inside of a game, and then by no fault of your own, something unfortunate happens inside of the game because of the netcode, and I understand how frustrating that can be, but you have to remove those emotions when you make a public statement like this, because more than just stream monsters and FGC influencers or news articles are going to see it. It's about understanding that you have a responsibility to the community and a platform to make things better. This statement just reads as complaining. It's very frustrating to me. It is, because if anyone else had made this statement, if I saw the statement coming from like DeKillSage, if I saw the statement coming from Alucard, if I saw the statement coming from like, shoot, even Hook Gang God, I have a pretty good feeling that like all those statements would have been more serious about, hey, here is why I'm not playing. It's not because of my opponent. It's not because of my internet. It's because this game does not allow me to play at the level that I feel I can compete at successfully. If he had even said that inside of a singular sentence there, I would have had a lot more respect for him, because I would have been like, I'm really happy that Chris has learned from all of this experience and understood how to get his get his words across in a positive way to developers, but that's not what the case is. Now, look, like I said before, it's an unpopular opinion. I know people are going to disagree with me. I know people are going to be like, you can't come at Chris G like that. You can't say this, this, and that. But the reality is we are no longer in 2009. We are no longer in 2000. We are now in 2020. There is a different standard inside the fighting game community. Players are held to a different standard. Influencers are held at a different standard. Streamers are held at a different standard. I expect Chris to be able to exist inside of that standard, and this statement does not do that for me. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating to me. That's all it is. Now, like, I would get it if it wasn't such a big deal. If he wasn't even trying to make a point, but he has said multiple times that I'm saying this hoping that they will do better. And it's like, were you really? Because that statement didn't in any way, shape, or form seem like you were trying to help the developers understand what they could do better here. It doesn't. It just reads as you are frustrated that this happened and you're mad and so you're leaving. That's all it says. And that doesn't, no other players inside of the Dragon Ball community have done anything like that. They've all said that the netcode is bad. But you had an opportunity here to stand up and speak on their behalf and you did not do that. And that's frustrating to me. Real talk. Now y'all can come for me on Twitter. My at is DAPurpleSharpie. It's right here. Best direct your hate and come ready because I had keep that mute button on lock, honey. What's up?
I will... Let me ask you this. You talked about Chris not using his platform to facilitate change. Do you think it's necessarily his responsibility as a player to put that out there?
Here's my frustration. He has said on his stream before that he is frustrated by this, right? And so I feel like if you're going to make a statement, a public statement about it, that's then going to be circulated because Chris G is a very big player inside of the FGC. I feel like you have a certain sense of responsibility in that regard, right? Now, if it was just a private statement that was made on a stream offhandedly, I would understand. But the man sat down and made a twit longer saying why he wasn't competing inside of a circuit anymore. I'd have to believe that there's some level of thought and intention that went into that. That's why it's frustrating to me. It's because here's the thing, and this is why I feel so strongly about it, is because there have been other statements before that Chris has made that goes inside of the same vein, where the problem is he gets emotional inside of these statements, right? So it's more, for me, it's a whole idea of growing as a person and understanding that, hey, maybe my context wasn't 100% clear here and I can get through in a positive and respectful manner. I'm not seeing any of that growth in any of the statements that Chris has made in like the past year. That's my frustration with it. Genuinely, I'm not even just upset about this statement. I'm upset because it seems like I don't feel like he has an obligation necessarily to commit to it, because one, he's not sponsored by any team whatsoever. Two, while he is a professional player, and you may have to fact check me on this, I don't know 100%, but I don't believe he's currently looking for sponsorship. I don't know 100% on that. I'm getting mixed, weird, whenever I ask someone, I got like weird, you know, around the mill, like responses. So I don't even know. And I'm not friends with him. So like, it's weird. But like, if he's really not interested in being sponsored or anything like that, then I don't feel like he has any obligation. But if he actually does care about the game or other people or respect people that compete professionally in the game, I feel like making a statement like that, that is that emotional and that nondescript, is very insulting. That's how I feel about it.
See, I don't think, in my book, I don't necessarily think that being nondescript in this case is necessarily a knock, because it's pretty clear that it's pretty clear why he dropped out. You know, he may not have said it in the nicest way, but he's putting the blame on the netcode for not being able to be conductive to a worthy competition. And he's not the only person who said that. He's far from the only one. He's far from the only person in this competition to say something about the netcode. I believe it was Supernoon who said that they weren't streaming during the tournament because of how bad the netcode was already, and he didn't want to pour anything on top of that. So I just don't think that... I think that the fact that a known player. I mean, of all the players, whatever you think of him personally, Chris G is one of the most well-known players in this competition. And for him to walk out on the tournament after one game or after one set, I think that puts a bigger spotlight on the problem than any nicely worded post could. I think that is something that gets the attention of people who don't just follow the game hardcore, but just casual followers. Like, wow, a pro player quit the game because it's like, do you remember which tournament was it? It was, we talked about it briefly on here, Elon. It was some sort of esports game. I don't think it was Call of Duty. I think it was something else where the winners won the tournament, won the $10,000 or whatever the prize was, and they talked about how bad the game was and they were quitting the game to play literally anything else. And if you didn't follow that, if you follow that game, that was big news, but that was also big news for people who didn't follow the game because, man, they just won money playing this and they're quitting. How bad must the game must be? It's that sort of reaction that I think we're gonna see here. You know, wow, a player is literally quitting on the biggest tournament of the year because there is no DBFC World Tour. So, for them to walk out, how much of a problem is the netcode? I think that is really, you know, from a player's perspective, that's the biggest thing you can do to shine a light on it.
I understand that, but if he was really interested in shining a light, he would have phrased it differently, knowing that it would have gotten back to developers. He would have said very specifically, it is an issue with the netcode. It is an issue specifically with this. He wouldn't have added mashing or dropped combos or anything like that, because that could have personally been his internet connection. He would have personally put the blame. Like, I'm gonna say a quote real quick, just from the context, knowing I only have a couple more seconds. But the specific line of last night's set with Reynold was an interesting one, full of mashing and dropped combos. That makes it seem like it's just a skill gap. Why wouldn't you specifically? Not once inside of this entire statement does he call out Bandai Namco. Like, that's frustrating. And I know that's it. I know that's all the time we have. But like, that's that. Why wouldn't you identify the problem? Why do you call the person that you're talking to or playing with, why do you call their name more than specifically the developers of the game who you want to fix the issue? Or do you not want it fixed? That's the problem I have with it.
Can I call my three-minute extension?
Do you want to have the final word?
Let's do it. Thank you, Steve. Three-minute extension?
All right, we'll do 3 minutes.
Yeah, because we still got to talk about the other thing, too, a little bit. I want to keep this going.
Here you go.
It's
3 minutes.
It's a good one, is it not?
It's juicy.
Oh, actually, hold on. Before you go through the 3 minutes, let me pause the timer. It didn't even start. Perfect. Chris G walked out on this tournament. It's awful. Somebody who's never walked out on us is 00 Tinder. Thank you, 00 Tinder, for your 7 months.
Thank you.
All right, now please go on. Here you go. Timer starts now. I missed. Like, hold on. Fuck. All right, go.
You talked about how if it would have been worded nicely, that would help it get back to the developers. I think this is getting back to the developers anyway. I think this is a very public rebuke. Even if he didn't specifically say it was because of the netcode, you know it's because of the netcode. I know it's because of the netcode. Everyone who plays the game knows it's because of the netcode. And everyone associated with the game knows it's because of the netcode. So I don't think it was necessary here. You know, would it have been a nice? Sure, absolutely. You know, if it would be great if we could have pull out perfectly worded statements that found just the right way to convey how we feel. But I think, like, this is a situation where the action speaks louder than the words. And this is a very significant action.
Can I chime in for a moment here?
Absolutely.
I understand why you feel that way. I work very closely with different developers. I can tell you that this is just going to get lost in the whole idea of there is no positive feedback right here. Mans is mad that he lost. That's what I see here when I read it. If I was a developer, I would see the exact same thing. I would see someone who's not in any way, shape, or form affiliated with any big team. I'm not paying any money from Bandai specifically for this player or anything like that. Also, not to mention, if Chris was ever looking for another opportunity with another team, this has now shown people that maybe he can't convey his point in the best way possible. So that's burned a lot of bridges that didn't even need to happen. Now, look, I understand a lot of people being like, he has no responsibility to speak this way or speak professionally or do this or that. This man is a pillar inside the fighting game community. How many times are we going to give someone a pass just because they were here way back when? Y'all, there have been a lot of people who have been here way back when, and they still manage to respect the community and respect people that are inside playing it without trashing everybody for playing in it. That's what this statement did. There were a lot of other people that also had to play through terrible connections, through a bunch of horrible lag. They didn't make statements, and if they had, they would have made it in a respectful way, not trashing anybody else for playing the game. That's frustrating. That's annoying. I love Dragon Ball FighterZ too, and I don't play it because the netcode is bad. I have never been silent about that fact, but I've also been respectful to everyone else who does play it. That's all I'm asking for, is some amount of respect for people that are still playing the game. And I don't feel like any of that was conveyed. It was just his emotions. It was very, very selfish. And a lot of Chris's statements are like that. It's very frustrating. I get it. OGs don't have any responsibility to do that, but wouldn't it be nice if we started to expect more from people to do that, to represent our community, to come over here and say specifically why they don't like something so that it can go back to developers and they can change something for the better? Wouldn't that be a nice world to live in? Don't we deserve that?
It would be nice if we felt like our complaints were being listened to, but we've seen that with DBFC, we've seen that with so many other games where we say netcode, and oh, here's, they put out a little fix for the netcode where you punish players who disconnect more harshly. That's great. Mm. But, you know, it doesn't address the core problem that so many people have, is that, especially right now, we can't play in a suitable way at all. So, and with as far as Chris's statements burning bridges, in terms of things Chris G has said that would burn bridges with esports teams, this is pretty damn low.
It just, for me personally, it just shows that he's not really committed to doing better. That's what's frustrating about it, honestly. And I say that as knowing full well what type of feedback I'm going to get back from it. And honestly, I don't even care. I really don't. Those are my opinions. I know I'm not probably the only one in the world that has those opinions, because when I saw this statement, I was really hoping that it wasn't just another complaint, honestly. And even if it was a complaint, which I'm ready to read, I was hoping that it would be addressed in an educated and respectful way, and it wasn't. And why? Because, right? Look, people in chat are like, he still wins. I was like, I don't have an issue with him winning, y'all. It has nothing to do with skill whatsoever. I'm talking about the statement that's coming from this. Because what would have been even better would have been, what if he got a bunch of other players to co-sign the statement? What if he literally made a statement saying, hey, this is unplayable for us. It was a really terrible connection, and we refuse to play under these conditions, and a bunch of other people signed under it? What if we had Super Noon? What if we had Nokami? What if we had Sage and Sonic? What if we had Goichi underneath that? No one's gonna sign onto this statement. No one is. Y'all may hate to hear it, but that's real. Like, it's whatever. It's totally fine. If y'all want to keep everything 100%, people who win and just don't know how to act around a community are fine. That's chill. Y'all keep that up. Y'all do what y'all gotta do. But I'm saying the fighting game community is not moving to that in the future. It's annoying. It's whatever.
Okay. What I'm upset about is nobody respected the fucking timer. All right? I know you guys were... I let it rock.
We really didn't there.
I let it rock because you guys...
I'm sorry. Our responses were delay-based.
Yeah, you're right.
I know you guys were in it. That's why I let it rock, but... Respect the fucking
thank
time.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have
last minute conversations about some other things. I apologize for going over my time.
It's okay. All right. Here we go. 10 more minutes on the clock. Steve, you're going to set this one up, I believe. Correct?
I think we got to do like 5 because
okay.
It's
5 minutes.
We can do 10. We can do 10. It's okay. We can take it from next cast. We can take away my 5 minutes from next cast.
Okay. Well, hold on. Then let me put the 10 there. That's what happens when there's too many changes all at the same time. 10 minutes on the clock.
So today, we got a wave of DCMA takedowns across multiple Twitch streamers. Several streamers reported that they got notices from Twitch that indicated that they had at least one broadcast that was detected as having violated DCMA, basically copyright. Most common, it's copyrighted music that Twitch doesn't have the right to post on their channels. What, obviously, anytime you deal with that, people are going to be up in arms. What has people up in arms, especially for this, is that Twitch talked about in the statement that they have deleted previous content that infringed. So if you have VODs that were detected as violating copyright, those are deleted. Let me read the exact statement. Quote, "We are writing to inform you that your channel was subject to one or more of these DMCA takedown notifications and that the content identified has been deleted. We recognize that by deleting this content, we are not giving you the option to file a counter notification or seek a retraction from the rights holder. In consideration of this, we have processed these notifications and are issuing you a one-time warning to give you the chance to learn about copyright law and the tools available to manage the content on your channel." End quote.
So this is another one of those issues of a company not being necessarily transparent and having an open communication with the people that are on their platform. So I think that's basically what it boils down to, right? Because it has never been an issue. DMCAs have been an issue for a long time. It has never been an issue for Twitch, as far as we know. Correct? But that's, I do know, incorrect. That in the past, the way they have been dealing with this is they have been muting VODs that included this copyrighted content. Now,
and we've been muted in the past.
Have we?
I remember the trailer from
All Mortal Kombat.
Not Mortal Kombat that I can recall, but the Climax of Night trailer had the New World Symphony in that, and that got marked.
Gotcha. They should have just used the free version, or not, the royalty-free version, instead of the London Symphony one. But anyway, so the big issue that's happening now is this is going beyond VODs. This is going towards highlights and clips, and highlights and clips were not monitored at all. So somebody has finally filed a DMCA complaint on a clip, and now Twitch is trying to avoid any and all legal trouble by taking care of all clips and all highlights. The way they're going about it is what's kind of rough, because getting this notice out of nowhere, just saying, "Hey, this was an issue, we deleted it, thanks, bye," is kind of shitty, because you could have very easily given notice like, "Hey, this is an issue, this needs to be removed, please remove it or we'll remove it." Or something like that. Having an open communication and trusting the people that are on your platform. Now, the hard thing is, Twitch is like the fifth most visited website in the world? Something like that?
I think it's definitely in top five.
If I remember correctly, it's number two in terms of video, only behind YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, it's hard to try to manage that with the billions and billions of people that are streaming on Twitch. So, I don't know, man. I feel like just clearer communication would have been good, but, and this kind of seems like it's like a panic and like knee-jerk reaction to, we don't want to get sued! Delete everything! Right, so...
It's just Amazon's lawyers doing their job.
Could be. But at the end of the day, you know, the people who... And the thing that's kind of sad, it's not even the people who wrote the music, it's the people who own the rights to the music that other people wrote and that are taking this down, but that's a whole other different discussion. But yeah,
the biggest thing that worries me, aside from the issues with how Twitch itself is handling, we're taking away the content that you've worked on. Let this be a lesson.
Yeah.
Aside from that, Alex Valle on Twitter brought up a point. His archives got muted when he played WWE Battlegrounds because the sensors got triggered, or the DMCA got triggered by mm-hmm. the wrestler's entrance music. But that's part of the game.
Yeah, that's licensed for the game.
That's licensed for the game. There are a bunch of games where you have music license. Think about, can you ever play an old Grand Theft Auto game ever again now with those radio stations? It's like, it's just asking for it. This is going to open the door. And we've actually seen sometimes where the rights holder, what gets marked as copyrighted, shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rights holders have given permission, and it's just the algorithm, for whatever reason, doesn't know that this is an okay case. So
That happened with Tekken, right, recently, where a bunch of Tekken content was getting taken down, and it happened right when Tekken released their soundtrack to Spotify. So I have a feeling same thing might have happened with Guilty Gear 2. But either way, it sucks. But at the same time, you know, Twitch lays that out, that you can't have copyrighted music on your stream, but people do it anyway. Now, is it the fault of Twitch for... Go ahead.
I was going to say they lay it out, but I wouldn't be as mad if they applied it fairly.
Right.
Because there are partner streamers that, like, mm-hmm. literally it does not apply to. There are partner to Twitch events that it literally does not apply to. And I've never once seen them give credit in the middle of a partnered stream saying, oh, we're running, you know, YMCA, blah, blah, blah. Or, like, the Washington Post can restream, like, the president saying something and playing, like, you know, Piano Man by Billy Joel or something. That doesn't get copyright struck. Isn't that astounding? Who are they really worried about? What they're really worried about is some small streamer that doesn't make enough money to cover their dividends doing something that bankrupts them. That's what they're covering their butts for. And it's frustrating to see, because those are the same people that are really making the money for them. It's not Ninja. Ninja's not making the bankroll for them. It's all these small streamers that literally get absolutely no money whatsoever. That's frustrating. That's annoying. That's mm-hmm. tilting.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, is that is it the fault of the person doing it because they're playing copyrighted music, or is it the fault of Twitch for not enforcing the rules, right? Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, Finitude in the chat is asking if Twitch could make a deal with record companies for rights. They could, and it's actually something that Facebook Gaming, we talked about it mm-hmm. a few weeks ago. Facebook Gaming reached a deal with Universal Music to allow their music to be played on that platform.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible. The question is it financially feasible for them to do
it? It's not.
No.
They don't make enough money from Twitch whatsoever. Like, Amazon is bankrolling Twitch, but they're only bankrolling them right now because it's financially feasible for them. And even still, they have to do a lot of partnership deals in order to make it even a little bit monetary worth. Twitch is just a really big ad-pushing company, y'all. Like, that's all it really is. It's not...
Ignore that. I don't know why that happened.
Okay. It's not really about the gameplay. It's not really about any of that. This is like a tool to give you ads. Playing music without ads doesn't give you ads. They're not paying because people are actively sitting here listening to music. They're paying essentially because they can push whatever ads they want to, like, 5 billion people at the exact same time. That's what they're paying for. The minute that no longer becomes financially worth, they're going to find something else to back. That's just the way Amazon works. Yeah. Implying that Twitch has literally any control whatsoever is crazy. What's up, Steve?
Can I take the final 60 seconds to
before
one other topic?
Of course you may.
Oh,
thank
oh yeah,
you so
go
much.
Ahead. Well, actually, before you move on to the other topic, I just want to point this out. Since this is all kind of doom and gloom, I do want to point this out. A lot of musicians have come forward on Twitter saying that you are allowed to use their music on Twitch. At Popsky, P-O-P-S-K-Y-Y, has amazing music. He's put his entire discography for free, or pay what you want, so you can use his stuff. Big Giant Circles, Carpenter Brute, all those people. So if you look on Twitter, there's a lot of people who did make those statements allowing you to use their music. Go ahead, Steve, and I'll give you an extra 30 seconds.
I just want to point out before we go, the GameHer Awards came out with I see she's smiling. They released their list of nominees for various categories. These are blah, blah, blah. If you can pull up the graphic, Elon. If you
seconds.
Look, we've got quite a few people, FGC, Tangent there, including Persia, Leisha Life, Combo Queeds, Amanda Stevens, Cuddlecore, Equinox Romanova, and guess who? Not in the running for Twitch Streamer of the Year, Purple Sharpie.
Fuck. I wasn't gonna cry. I'm sorry. It's just, thank you, Steve. Fuck, that was really nice. I'm sorry. I didn't, y'all. It just says awards in the doc. I didn't know he was gonna say all this shit. Like,
well, this is what you get for streaming.
You're a good person,
all right?
Steve. Thank you for giving a platform too. I just want to say thank you for. Thank you for making sure that Women Inside the Community stay visible, Steve. Thank you. Y'all, you don't have to close up on me crying. Come on.
This is what we want to see. Emotion. Add emotion to our emotionless lives.
Thank you, Steve.
We are human.
I did throw the link in chat, thegamehers.com/vote. Make sure you head to the content creation category. Get your vote in for Sharpie and any of your other favorites. Nomination period ends on November 13th, so get your votes in. And hopefully our girl gets her spot. So
yeah, look,
everybody,
if she doesn't...
I'm really happy I just got nominated. Honestly, there are a lot of people on there. I'm just happy I was even nominated by a couple of people. There are a lot of very talented people on there. What I do want to say is if anything, look for the categories that have very limited numbers of people and make sure those people get their recognition, because Equinox Gaming is on there. Emily Rose, who's in charge of Equinox Gaming, Cuddlecore is on there, Persia is on there, Romanova is on there. Look for the women inside the FGC that are in the smallest contested ones and vote for them en masse. If we can get even one woman inside of the FGC or one femme inside of the FGC, their recognition, that would be huge. Don't feel required to get me. That's fine. I'm happy just being nominated. There are so many more talented people inside this community that are up for nomination that have a better chance than myself of getting the award.
Okay, so Sharpie said the nice stuff. I'm going to say the mean stuff. Chat, if Sharpie doesn't win, it's your fault, all right? So fuck you.
Wow.
Can I say one thing before we close up stream that I wanted to say last stream, but I didn't want to be too messy? Y'all, can I have a close-up just real quick? And no sad music, because I don't want to DCMA'd. Y'all, look, we've been quarantined now for just over 7 months. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I hope you all are doing fantastic. I hope you all are taking time for yourselves, and I hope you all are trying your best to be safe and to thrive right now. I know it's difficult for everyone. I know it's hard right now for everyone. Just keep working. We will get through this all together. We will get back to events. We will start playing. We will run that motherfucking set back, okay? But we got to get through this first. And I am so excited to see every single person who has been watching our stream, who has been listening to our podcast, who has been supporting not just us, but other FGC members inside this community. I am so excited to see everyone at events as soon as it becomes safe. I just want to remind y'all that people are waiting for all of this to happen. You're not the only one, and I know it's tough. I know it's hard. We will get through this. Just be patient. Always sending love. That's all I wanted to say.
Sick!
Shout-outs to the FGC. Awaya's Honey put up a GoFundMe. His mother needs liver surgery to take care of a liver problem. He put it up yesterday, seeking $2,000 for the procedure, or 2,000 pounds, excuse me. Which is about $2,500 US, blew past that goal in 24 hours.
Sick.
So, FGC,
that's what
you.
It's about. All right, ladies and gents, this has been our show. We're already over time enough. Nobody respects the timer over here except for me, I guess. I'm Elon. That's me right there. This is Mr. The Main Squeeze, Steve. I almost said Stave King off Jurik suit. Steve Jurik, Ace King off suit Jurik. Steve, Ace King, Offsuit Jerk. There we go. I got it the third time. And the lovely, the Purple Sharpie hanging out with us here. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us. As always, honor and a pleasure. Go say hi to Ultra Chen. Tell him to stop stealing our timer. All right? Damn it. All right. Say your last words.
Good night, Canada.
Stay safe, everyone. Peace and tranquility. And also, Velvet needs buff. She needs Chip. She needs a low. She needs armor and Involuntel main 6. Velvet needs buff.
Oh, fuck. Ha ha ha.